Wolf, and Luke.
Who are you?
Okay, then.
Ron Wolfley.
What is up? Witchbuster extraordinaire. Love that guy.
Luke Lipinski.
He sounds pretty good. He sounds pretty articulate.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Kind of a big day in Valley Sports. Welcome into the Wolf and Luke Show. Of course, we've got Packers Cardinals coming up. Our network coverage begins at 1:30. This show today actually ends, Wolf, at 12:30, and then we got we've got a little pregame of our own from 12:30 to 1:30.
So. Yeah, how about that? Yeah. It is here finally. Of course, the Thursday night game between the Arizona Cardinals and the Green Bay Packers, and the news surrounding this game isn't good, is it?
No, I'm not really enjoying this as much as I was on Monday. I got to be honest. Like, the closer we get, I mentioned this to you in the email. Like, I feel like this narrative has been created that if the Cardinals win, this is the narrative that has been created nationally now. The Cardinals have already won the game, but don't give them any respect because they beat Green Bay and they didn't have Devontae Adams.
Oh, that is interesting right there.
Meanwhile, you know Aaron Rodgers hears this stuff, so he's going to come out with a chip on his shoulder, more so than usual. And, oh, by the way, the Cardinals don't have Rodney Hudson, now don't have J.J. Watt, now might not have J.J. Watt for the rest of the year, it sounds like.
And not only that, what about D-Hop? Is D-Hop going to be ready to go? And if, in fact, he is ready to go tonight, is he going to be okay? Is he going to be effective? Is he going to be able to move around and be DeAndre Hopkins? That is a question that I ask right now. And if so, if he can't be, how concerned should we possibly be about that as well, that this suddenly could become a lingering thing with the hammy? That, to me, there's so many question marks up in the air right now in regard to the Arizona Cardinals, and yet this team has shown me so much this season in winning in so many different ways that I fully expect them to go out and still win this game.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, the J.J. Watt stuff, and it didn't break that he was likely out for the year during our show yesterday, but it broke that he was going to miss the game. Look, if he's going to miss one game, whatever. You know, when you have big players like that are going to miss a game, and you're 7-0, the worst case in the back of your mind is like, okay, fine, maybe they'll be 7-1. You know, maybe that's just too much to overcome for one game. I tend to agree with you; they'll be able to overcome it. But losing Watt for what sounds like the season. That's the report that's out there. I guess it's not official yet. He's getting a second opinion, which he should. That just takes – it doesn't, like, ruin the season, but yeah. It takes a bit of the luster off of it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's the tangible that he brings in between the white lines and how he plays the game, and it's also the intangibles. It is the leadership that he brings to that locker room. Listen, this is the one thing, and I'm not revisiting anything. I'm not making up history. I love this signing when they went out and they got J.J. Watt. I absolutely loved it. But this was my concern. This was the one concern that I had. He played in all 16 games last year, of course, and that alleviated a lot of my furrowed brow, a lot of my concerns. But prior to 2020, he had missed 32 of 64 games. You know, I'm just saying that was my one concern was, okay, how healthy is he? But then again, I looked at 2020 and the fact that he was out there and he played 91% of the snaps. 2020 was out there, he played in all 16 games. You know, so that really alleviated a lot of my concern that He was banged up and that his body was breaking down. But, you know, here it is. This was the one concern I had. And again, for the record, I absolutely loved the signing. But this is the stuff that happens in the game of football.
Well, this is the one thing I would say, because it sounds like it's a dislocated shoulder, which is the injury I had growing up playing hockey. And it's funny because it's not funny, but we all saw him walk off the field on Sunday like, oh, he's fine.
Yeah.
That's what the dislocated shoulder is. It's horrible, and you feel like your body is separated from part of itself, and then once it gets back in, you feel fine. But it just keeps getting weaker and weaker, and I'm not playing doctor with J.J. Watt. I don't know what his is like,
right.
But I know when I dislocated my shoulder, it just kept happening, and it happened 7 times before I was finally like, if you don't get surgery, it just keeps getting easier and easier to pop out. So I would understand that's probably the path he's going down. But to your point, you know, there's definitely going to be that criticism out there now, that revisionist history today of, oh, yeah, he's just breaking down. I don't know that a dislocated shoulder necessarily fits that category.
I totally agree with that. Absolutely. It's not like suddenly, by way of example, my 10th year in the National Football League, I was so grateful for that year. Thank you, Lord God, for year number 10 in 1995. The opportunity to say goodbye to the game. I got to see it myself. My body just could not bear it any longer. Like, it was breaking down. I'd pull a hamstring, pull a groin, pull a calf, yeah. Right? It was just, everything was breaking down
different.
On me. And that's different than an AC sprain or an AC separation.
Yeah. And I mean, if you see the play that they have apparently pinpointed where J.J. Watt is trying to chase down Davis Mills just for a tackle in that game, and he just sort of hit your shoulder awkwardly when it's in a prone position, and that's it. And that's just, I don't know. I mean, I would prefer that they had J.J. Watt for the rest of the season, but you also signed this guy for more than 1 year. And I can just tell you from my own experience, not playing in the NFL, but having a dislocated shoulder, if you don't get it fixed, it just gets easier and easier to pop out and harder to put in, basically.
Yeah. At least let's hope that J.J. Watt is still going to be around some of the guys and can still offer some of that guidance, still offer some of that leadership. Listen, I want to make this clear. I've said this many, many times for a lot of years on these airwaves right here. I'm going to repeat it once again, but it is the truth. You really can't lead unless you're out on the field. You really can't.
Yeah.
You cannot. Now, look, once again, he can be a great influence. He can be a great influence to his teammates. There's no doubt about that. We're talking about J.J. Watt here. But once again, to really lead, you have to do before you can say.
We're going to get more into that certainly throughout the show, because that's a topic. That was the first topic that came to mind for me when they said he was likely done for the year. This is Michael Bidwell on with Mike Broomhead over on 92.3. this morning, talking about the impact J.J. Watt had through the first seven games.
Well, I think it's everyone. I mean, I think across the board, and certainly J.J.'s brought a lot. You've seen the great leadership we've had out of Coach Kingsbury, especially when he was absent, you know, putting together that great game plan that his staff was able to execute up in Cleveland. Kyler Murray, can't say enough about the leadership that, you know, he's grown into in his third year. He just keeps taking these huge steps each year, as well as you've got leaders like A.J. Green and DeAndre Hopkins on offense and on defense. Of course, Buda Baker, Chandler Jones. And if you just look back a year ago, we lost Chandler Jones in week 5 of 2020, and we continue to go on and play great defense. So I know that we've got some great young players behind him, we've got Zach Allen, we've got Leckie Fotu, we've got Michael Dogby, we've got a lot of young players that have been working really hard this offseason and are ready to come in and be a part of this, as well as, you know, Jordan Phillips, Corey Peters. We're getting these players back, and it's a good time to be having those players return to the field.
You know, he mentioned the name of Chandler Jones right there, mm-hmm. as he was talking about some of these guys. And I can tell you right now, Chan is the one guy I'm looking at. And I'm thinking to myself, it's go time. It is go time right here. His legs have got to be fresh. Hopefully he's fully recovered. There is no COVID hangover whatsoever. I think it's go time for Chandler Jones right now, knowing that you don't have that interior presence with J.J. Watt right there. Again, not a J.J. Watt type. Right now, I just wonder what kind of impact this is going to have on Chandler Jones and how he responds.
I think it's fair to look at this a couple ways. One, they can still win games without J.J. Watt. They can still be a great team. I don't think this derails them from having Super Bowl hopes. I really don't. But there's almost no way to look and say they didn't get a little bit worse in the last 24 hours.
No doubt
about
it.
There's no way to reason that.
No doubt about it. They are not as good of a team.
No.
Without J.J. Watt.
No, and that's stuff, like you said, that happens over the course of a football season. You knew something was going to happen to this team, especially a 17-game season instead of a 16. It's how you weather it, but that's a big blow. And again, they are still Super Bowl contenders. They should still be the Super Bowl favorites. But
you got a great opportunity right now to go out and prove it tonight once again. You know what? Hey, listen, I understand the Green Bay Packers. Nobody's going to give the Arizona Cardinals a lot of credit to go out and beat the Green Bay Packers tonight, just go out and whip them. Just go ahead and do that. Go out and play ball out tonight and let the chips fall where they may.
Well, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to stop Aaron Rodgers. So coming up, what is the key to stopping Aaron Rodgers? We'll ask former NFL linebacker and Cardinals broadcaster Rob Fredrickson next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Still undefeated.
Colt McCoy takes a knee. This one's over. The Cardinals are 7-0.
Things aren't slowing down yet.
This week, y'all know Thursday night games. All right, it's a team that handles the week. Unique week of preparation, the best. That's who wins the game.
I know what's in front of us. A short week against an undefeated opponent.
Kyler Murray.
It's going to be a quarterback run up the middle. At the 10, at the 5, Murray dives for the end zone. And he's in for the touchdown.
Versus Aaron Rodgers.
Looking. He dumps it off right side. Got his man in the end zone. Touchdown.
Ready or not?
Prime time. Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals, Packers. Thursday night football. Now.
Yeah, let's do it. What are we, 7 hours away from kickoff? A very highly anticipated game here, which...
You don't have any eye black, do you?
And if I did, I don't know if I would give it to you right now.
I'll streak it on right now, man.
I feel like it'll run right through that soundproof glass right there.
Yes.
Rob Fredrickson has joined us. Rob, do you know what you're walking into? Wolf was ready for the game.
I got the smelling salt. I don't know about the eye black. I never wore that, Wolf.
Love that. Why? How do you not wear the eye black, Backer?
I was always wore contact lenses back in that day, and I always had to kind of rub my eyes. And if I had eye black, that would have been a disaster.
Yeah, I used to stand in front of the mirror, and it used to be one for the family. I'd literally take the eye black, and I'd smear one for the family, one for my dad, and then I'd streak it tears for what I must become.
I did have about 10 little packets of smelling salts stuffed in my sock.
Yes, exactly. Let me just say there was some intensity in front of the mirror. That's all I'm saying.
I kind of gathered that, actually, to be honest. Rob, okay, there's been twists and turns all week, and it's only Thursday, and there hasn't been a game yet. But let's start with J.J. Watt going down. I'm assuming the team knew a little bit before the rest of us found out, but both on the field and just off the field being around the team, that's potentially a huge blow here.
Well, yeah, it's a huge loss. I saw the play where it happened, and ironically, it looked very similar to what happened to Baker Mayfield, caused by J.J. Watt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just kind of that odd landing on the shoulder or in the armpit area, and it just kind of it pops out. I don't know if it's subluxed. I don't know if it went out and came back in. I don't know the extent of the injury, but the shoulder. For a defensive lineman position where you're using it's all hand-to-hand combat, that's an injury that you can't get away with. Maybe Baker Mayfield on his off arm can get away with it without getting surgery, but for a defensive lineman, that's crucial.
What a stud to keep playing in the game, right? I mean, they must have popped that thing back in if, in fact, that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, Wolf, you know this, right? Adrenaline is a wonderful drug, right?
Yes, and our body makes it, by the way. It's very natural, all you young crunks out there. It's natural.
Natural adrenaline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a rough one for them to deal with. Now, Rob, if you look at what he meant to this team as a leader, he's not the only leader on this team, obviously, but that's followed him around his entire career. He's one of the premier leaders in this league, and he was having an effect on this defense. So as a team that everybody's chasing down, when you lose somebody like that right in the middle of the season, is it just everybody else has to pick up a little slack, or do you not even try to replace who he is just as an individual?
Well, there's some good guys on this defense as a unit as a whole, and I think this unit has kind of gone under the radar a little bit, starting to get some notoriety nationally, but just the things that this defense has been able to do, and not just because of J.J. Watt and his presence, it's been good, it's been great actually. You know, he's getting penetration, he's making tackles for loss, he's getting pressure on the quarterback. That we're gonna miss that, but I think we can replace it. We replaced Chandler Jones last year, and the defense came on and really did well without him. Vance Joseph is a master at coming up with schemes and coming up with ways to put guys in positions to succeed. You saw the success that Gardeck had last year before he got injured. Just things like that to manufacture pressure, to do things when you lose somebody. Vance Joseph is just a master at that.
You know, for me right there, too, I'm looking at Jordan Phillips. I really am. I'm looking at Jordan Phillips, and I'm saying, it's time. It is, son, it is time to step up to the plate right now. The Arizona Cardinals need Jordan Phillips to be that interior presence, that interior force, especially when you don't have a guy like Corey Peters around, right? And hopefully Corey Peters will be a guy that will come back and be available soon, hopefully sooner as opposed to later, let's put it that way. But you know, you need that interior presence, I think, and Jordan Phillips can certainly give the Arizona Cardinals that. I watched him a couple of times on some of these pass rushes. I'm telling you right now, that's exactly what they need from him, a guy that just lines up over a guard and thrashes the guard and gets penetration. He's got a great bull rush as well. That's going to help out Chandler Jones. I think Chan has got to step up and be Chandler Jones.
Oh, he does, big time. And, you know, it's time for Zach Allen. We need him to show up and step up big. I think when he's healthy and he's available, he's effective. We just need more of him. We need more from these guys.
Everybody.
To collectively step up and try to replace J.J. Watt.
Rob Fredrickson joining us right now. So, yeah, let me ask you this. I mean, Max Williams goes down, and it doesn't take long for Steve Keim to go out and get Zach Ertz. Do you feel like they need to do anything? The trade deadline is Tuesday. I mean, you're a Super Bowl contender, if not favorite, but it is a little bit different. You got a lot of guys that play positions around J.J. Watt. Maybe you can slide in. Are you comfortable just counting on what they already have?
Yeah, I mean, you've heard Steve Keim say that he's always going to be looking. He's always going to be seeing what's available, what's out there, and what makes sense given the kind of the cap situation that the Cardinals are in to make a move. And you know, signing Ertz to me signifies that this team is in the hunt and ready to make a push. It shows that to the players. It shows that the front office and the Cardinals are committed to this. So yeah, I think Steve Keim's going to look around. He's certainly going to see what's available, but I like the guys that they have already. And I think this defense is proven. And I've been so impressed, especially on the back end of this defense with the cornerback play and the safety play, probably the two best tackling safeties in the NFL. And I think Thompson would get more credit, honestly, if he wasn't with Buda Baker nationally. I really think he's having a terrific year.
And you know what? Their corners aren't bad either.
Yeah.
We think about corners tackling. What do you expect to see tonight? What is it? What's on your mind right now when you think of the Green Bay Packers at the Arizona Cardinals at State Farm Stadium?
Yeah, it could be a little spooky out at State Farm Stadium tonight, Wolf. You know, it's you know, the Packers certainly have taken some hits this week, and so they're gonna have some challenges. But, you know, so I look at them and I think who's gonna replace what they've lost, and it's probably gonna be guys like Robert Tonyan and Aaron Jones. You know, Aaron Jones to me is one of the best running backs in the league. So you know, who's gonna replace the guys, the Devontae Adams, who's going to replace those guys that they're missing, Lazard? So it'll be interesting, and you're always going against Aaron Rodgers, so that, you know, he can make average football players great.
Yes.
He has the ability to, you know, to thread the needle and make those plays that he's made before at State Farm Stadium. So it'll be interesting for sure. I think the Cardinals should win. I do. If you look at both teams and you put them side by side, I think the Cardinals should win. But, you know, that's kind of why you play the game.
When you faced a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers when you were playing, I mean, is there just a different buzz around the team, around the defense going into that game because you know what you're up against?
Yeah, he's a quarterback that can make every throw. He's got unrivaled arm talent, in my opinion. I mean, he's got one of the best arms in the league, and he's also, for his age, given his age, he has the ability to extend plays and even run with the ball to get first down. So you know, he's just that quarterback that's different from so many other quarterbacks in this league, and that's what makes him unique and special. It's maddening as a defensive player when you have a quarterback that's mobile back there and can extend plays and throw the ball downfield virtually any distance and get first downs and keep the drive going. It's really difficult for a defensive player.
Man, I love this right here because you just totally you may have stumbled onto something right here when you said, you know what? This is going to be a Halloween party. This might be the first Halloween party in the country. Stop and think about it, right? I mean, honestly, yeah. Tonight, knowing that it's coming on Sunday, what? Here it is tonight.
I know you're going to have your eye black, but what's your costume?
Favorite Halloween movie? I mean, what is it? Favorite movie? Scary movie?
I don't like scary movies.
Okay, now you don't like them at all. Okay,
no,
you don't like
I don't.
Them. Okay, how about you, Laura?
I'm not big into. I've seen the first Halloween. I'm not big into scary movies.
Honestly, right now, Halloween, please. Michael Myers.
Well, seeing him down there by the laundry, kind of the you know the sheets were hanging on the
yeah.
clothesline.
Once I saw the first one, I was good. I didn't need to see any more.
You see him just kind of standing there. Yeah. That freaked me out. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a friend who actually showed up at the door like that, standing some 15 feet away from the door in a full Michael Myers, and he would not talk to me. As I said, okay, what do you want? Okay, that's enough.
That's
of that.
Going in your book. That
by
I'm
the
forcing
way,
it right.
Love you, bees.
I'll throw this at you two, both of you, before we go to break. Ian Rappaport tweeted out, how serious does an injury have to be to sideline J.J. Watt? Sources say he actually tore his labrum, his bicep, and his rotator cuff, and dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah.
What? I don't know if that's true, but that's Ian Rappaport tweeting that out. Sources say he actually tore his labrum, his bicep,
played?
And his rotator cuff, and dislocated his shoulder.
Stop it. Oh, my God.
So, there you go. All right, Rob, thank you very much, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Thanks, and look forward to seeing what the Cardinals can do tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one tonight. All right, that's Rob Fredrickson joining us. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, is it time to pay DA? We react to Suns Kings next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. A Friday night fish fry. A Friday night date night at Ocean 44 that sets you back half a paycheck. Wolf and Luke.
All right, welcome back to the show. A lot going on today and a shorter show. We're done at 12:30, although we'll be doing the Cardinals NFL game day from 12:30 to 1:30 as we get ready for Packers-Cardinals tonight. Switching gears to basketball real quick here, though, Wolf. Suns played last night and looked okay in the first half. And then I don't know what happened in the third quarter, but then came surging back only to have Harrison Barnes at a buzzer beater.
You know, I'm watching the game last night, and the only thing I can think of, Basin Orleans, is Fire Marshal Bill.
Everybody remain calm!
I'm serious right now. Jim Carrey, of course, doing Fire Marshal Bill. And I love doing it myself, too, by the way. You got to tuck the lip, though, when you... Everybody remain calm! I
let me tell you about it.
That's right.
How did you just do that?
I love doing it right there because Jim Carrey is a comedic genius, as we all know. But last night, there was nothing funny about what was going on, right?
No.
Yet at the same time, everybody remained calm.
Yeah, I mean, it's four games. There is a certain point where I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's only 11 games. Like, at a certain point, you'd like to see the Suns start winning. Four games is fine. Sacramento's not terrible. Sacramento's got some good young talent. And Harrison Barnes has been playing out of his mind this season. He actually lowered his points per game average last night with 22. But there's some concerning trends here. They're not really moving the ball well. Chris Paul didn't look good last night at all.
Yeah. Listen, to me, can I just tell you right now, this is just me. And again, I am not inside that locker room. I don't know what's going on. But the Suns looked a little bored last night to me. And I mean, for them to actually hit the switch when it looked like we're going to lose. Oh, no, we're going to lose. Do you understand? We're going to lose this thing. Watch out now. They looked like the playoff team that we saw last year in those last 6 minutes of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, ideally you're not going to put yourself in that position where you have to come back from double digits on your home floor against Sacramento. But you know what, though, Wolf? It's actually time for a little bit of...
Out on top, DeAndre Ayton, a three-pointer. Suzanne! D.A. for three.
Waiting on Ayton or pay D.A. Wolf and Luke make a decision based on last night's game.
All right, what's popping?
Well, it is America's fastest growing game show, Waiting on Ayton or Pay DA, where we'll make this decision based entirely on what happened last night and nothing else. Wolf, we're going to make an entire decision on a max deal for DeAndre Ayton based entirely on the 34 minutes he played last night.
This one's an easy one, isn't it?
I feel like it is.
Okay, I'm going to pay DA, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm going to do.
All right.
Pay DA. Everybody remain calm.
That's your first pay DA of the season.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
You're right about that. Oh, yeah, you're marking this down. Yeah. This is really good. I'm glad you're doing that. Okay, look, double-double in the first half. Had a double-double in the first half and then finished like a full-grown man. 21 and 21 for DeAndre Ayton last night. Very, very impressive. Not only that, too, he was hitting the offensive glass. 5 offensive boards. Loved his performance.
Yeah, 21 and 21. That's only the second time in his career he's gone for a 20-20. And out of foul trouble the whole time. He picked up a foul, I think, in the fourth quarter on that block on De'Aaron Fox. But just a fantastic game. Looked like playoff Ayton. They didn't get him a whole lot involvement in the offense in the second half. But yes, Wolf, I'm going with you. I will go pay DA. So far, we've each had 2 Waiting on Aytons and 1 pay DA this season. I'm going to send this list to James Jones at the end of the year, and he's going to throw it right in his trash.
The Aytonic Bob.
It was so weird because, once again, when the Suns were in control, and they did, they had an 11-point lead at one point in the second quarter, and they just looked meh. And when threatened suddenly at the end of the game, where it looked like, you know what, hey, we're going to lose this game, suddenly they looked postseason Suns.
Yeah, which in some instances, in some ways, is almost more frustrating because it's like, wait a minute. With all due respect to Sacramento, if you just played that way all game, you would have cruised. You wouldn't have had a third quarter where you got out, scored 29-15. But I will say this, Wolf. Teams are hitting their threes against the Suns. And I realize some of that is the Suns.
You know,
that's their own
defense.
Doing. But the Suns aren't hitting their threes. They were 6-22 last night from three-point range, which is not going to get it done in the NBA in 2021. Cam Johnson was 0-4 from three, only had 1 point in the game. Also, they hit 70% of their free throws. There's no easier way to let a team back in a game than by hitting only 70% of your free throws. Not like Sacramento hit theirs. They hit 73, but the Suns missed 7 free throws in that game.
Yeah, listen, Chris Paul, you already mentioned it right there as well. Chris Paul was not good. One of the worst shooting games I've seen Chris Paul ever in a Suns uni. Would you agree with that
One of 10,
One of the worst shooting games we've actually seen. Am I worried, Basin Odines? Ask me that, right? Ron, are you worried? Heck no. Of course not. Do I wonder what he's thinking about? Yes. Yes, I do, because there are times where he looks a little distracted from time to time.
Yeah. Am I worried? No. On a night when we find out J.J. Watt's probably done for the year, could you maybe go out there and beat Sacramento so we all do a little bit better? Yeah, you could do that. Please. Thank you.
It's just a weird, weird situation right now. He was 1-10, as you already said, from the field, but he was -10 in the plus-minus. And I realize the plus-minus is not the end-all, be-all, but it was really interesting to me. There were some oddities in the plus-minus, and he was the only starter that had a minus in the plus-minus. Chris Paul was the only starter that had a minus, and he was -10. And what else is weird is Elfrid Payton was the only bench player that had a plus in the plus-minus.
Yeah.
He was +2. It was just like I said. Am I saying play Elfrid Payton?
I hope not, but I'm willing to listen to what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying everybody remain calm.
The Chris Paul thing is potentially more worrisome to me just because I'm not worried yet, but you are committed to him for three more years, and hopefully a fourth. And it's not like, oh, Chris Paul's not good anymore. No, it's not the case at all. He does only have 10 points in his last two games, so he's in a little bit of a rut right here. But Chris Paul last year should have been a top three MVP candidate. So you kind of need him to be like a top three, top five, maybe MVP candidate over the course of the season to get where you want to go. Now, with what happened last night, it's a little bit easier to look and say, why did they lose to Sacramento at home? Oh, Chris Paul had an off-night shooting. He was 1 of 10.
Yeah.
He'll go out there and he'll hit 6 of 8 on Saturday.
He looked a little distracted, and I wonder what that is. Is there something in the way, Kurt Cobain? Is there something in the way? I don't know.
You think what something's hanging over this team right now?
What is he thinking? Well, there is something hanging over this team. And Chris Paul, of course, being as closely tied to the union as he is, being at the very top of the union, do you think he knows what's coming down at some point? He looks distracted to me. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm not ready to go that far, but we talked about this a couple weeks ago before the season started with all the Ayton stuff. It does feel like there's, you know, whether the Ayton stuff was a distraction once the season began or not, that's something. That's something different that wasn't there last season. Now, there are a few things floating around right now that you just went to the NBA Finals last year. We just all like to kind of pick up right where we left off in July. We don't need these outside, whether they're distractions or whether they're just, I don't know. They don't seem totally right now. Obviously, they're 1-3.
Yeah, and there's a story that is hanging, supposedly this story. We've been talking about it all week for the most part, the story that was going to drop at some point in time. I wonder if he knows. That's all.
I don't know. Just the fact that you have to wonder is a lot different than last year when everything was just smooth sailing last year. Get lower level tickets for just $19.87 to see ASU football host Washington State on Saturday, October 30th. Just text Devils to 620-620 and we'll send you a link to purchase tickets. That's Devils to 620-620. It's the Arizona Sports Sun Devil Special. Coming up, who or what is the tipping point in Thursday night football? Fulcrum football is next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It's part of the NFL. It's not easy. It's not easy to win in the NFL. Everybody want to win.
Who or what is the tipping point?
That's going to be key to our success.
This is
Fulcrum Football with Wolf and Luke.
All right, here we go. Thursday night football tonight. This is a different kind of Fulcrum Football. Wolf, usually we do this on a Friday going into the game on Sunday. Now, today we don't even have to wait that long to know who wins, even though we don't have a scoring system for this game.
Yeah, we don't need a scoring system. Oh, it's heads. You win.
Oh, well, good bets. I'm so good at the coin toss without even calling. The way this works, we're just picking the most pivotal players from this game. You can pick a quarterback, but we try to shy away from that, trying to go with more of the other players that are going to decide the outcome of tonight's game. And I will tell you, one way or the other, too. Like, if this guy doesn't show up, you're probably going to lose. If he does show up, you have a chance to win. So, Wolf, if I'm picking first, I'm going to go with Chandler Jones.
Can't wait!
Wow, right? Okay, Chandler Jones.
Right out of the gate, coming back from COVID, and now you don't have J.J. Watt, so Marcus Golden has really been your best pass rusher this year, but somebody's going to have to pick up the slack. A lot of people are going to have to pick up the slack, but no pressure on Chandler Jones first game back. They need him.
Okay, so you're picking Chandler Jones. I've got to write that down right there to make sure that I don't pick him. Let me just say I do believe that the Green Bay Packers are going to line up tonight, even with Aaron Rodgers, of course. And they're going to try to run the ball. They're going to try to put him in a run-heavy offense and then use play action to throw the ball. Run-down situation, I think, tonight is going to be critical for both teams. But since we're talking about the Packers right now, run-down situation, 1st and 10, 2nd and 1 to 6. And because of that, I'm looking at Aaron Jones. Yeah, that's right, the running back for the Green Bay Packers. I think he gets an awful lot of touches tonight. In particular, a lot of handoffs. We'll see.
That's a great pick, and it really ruins my whole plan of taking nothing but guys whose last name is Jones for the entire segment. So thanks for that.
Denied!
I see, going back to the Green Bay side of things, I can't believe I'm picking this guy. I don't even know if I knew for sure he was in the league last year. But look, Aaron Rodgers wanted him back, and he probably needs him tonight. I'll go with Randall Cobb.
This is where we fight!
You're going with Randall Cobb. And yeah. Would you like to expound on that at all, or no?
Aaron Rodgers is going to need somebody to throw the football to. I do think it'll be Aaron Jones, maybe more than anybody. But as receivers go, and I get that Randall Cobb's not really an outside threat the way Devontae Adams is, but he has been Aaron Rodgers' security outlet, blanket, whatever you want to call him in the past. And, I mean, they're missing Adams and Lazard. Who else are they going to throw to?
Okay, are you ready for this? Everyone gather around the transistor and press the air. I'm going with James Conner.
Hey!
Oh, yeah, and that's exactly how it's going to sound and how it's going to feel. James Conner, stick the mouth guard in and run the ball in between the tackles. I think you can attack the Green Bay Packers. I think they have a bit of a soft underbelly, if you know what I'm talking about. Number 22 and rushing yards per game allowed. Number 30 and rushing yards per play allowed in the National Football League. Yeah, you got to attack the Green Bay Packers in between the tackles. And I think if they do that, James Conner is going to have a big role.
All right, I'm going to go with another Packer here. I think if the Cardinals are able to keep this guy out of the end zone tonight, they're going to win this game. So maybe I should have taken him earlier, but you didn't, so I'm okay. I'm going to go with Robert Tonyan.
Wow, he's very nice.
I did not see that coming right there. You're going with a tight end.
I'm going with, again, because who? Aaron Rodgers is going to throw to somebody. And to me, he's throwing to Aaron Jones, Robert Tonyan in the red zone, and Randall Cobb from the goal line to the other 20.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do right here? I'm going to come with a nameless and a faceless offering, shall I? Anybody that lines up on the offensive line over Kenny Clark, anybody that lines up on the offensive line over Kenny Clark, that is my choice right there. Exactly right, because once again, are you going to run the ball or are you going to try to run the ball against the Green Bay Packers? Are you going to try to put Kyler Murray in a balanced offense? Yes, hopefully. That's what I think the Arizona Cardinals will do here tonight. I think James Conner does get a lot of touches in between the tackles and running the ball. Kenny Clark is one guy that could ruin that in a heartbeat right there. One of the better three techniques in the National Football League. Still a guy that is hyper-competitive. Anybody on the interior, and who knows who that center might be, Anybody on the interior is going to have to block Kenny Clark if, in fact, the Cardinals want to be able to run the ball.
So you just took anybody versus Kenny Clark.
That's right.
Let me write that all down. I was looking at picking the Cardinals center, but I don't know who it is, and you just kind of took it there anyway. So here's what I'm going to do. As you know, all week I've been saying Isaiah Simmons, he's going to pick off Aaron Rodgers or he's going to recover a fumble in this game. Isaiah Simmons is getting the ball for the Cardinals at some point in this game.
We're better than you, and we know it.
So I'm going with him.
You're going with Isaiah Simmons.
Isaiah Simmons.
Man, I like that right there. I love that kid. Holy cow.
Isaiah Simmons with the addition that he will be forcing or recovering a turnover tonight.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go with Zach Ertz. Oh, my goodness. Man, the only hit like that is going to be Zach down the seam, I think, possibly. Let me just say, I think the play-action game will be big for the Arizona Cardinals here tonight. Can I tell you that last week, Kyler Murray threw three touchdown passes, and all of them were off of play-action. Anytime you're talking about play-action, so much of the time you're talking about attacking the middle of the field, and that's where Zach Ertz lives. There's a lot of green out there, isn't there, Zach? And it's right in the middle of the field coming off of play action. Zach Ertz is my Fulcrum football player.
All right, that's Fulcrum football for week 8. We have no idea how to score this. You have Aaron Jones, James Conner, anybody versus Kenny Clark and Zach Ertz.
Yes.
I have Chandler Jones, Randall Cobb, Robert Tonyan, and Isaiah Simmons, who is either intercepting Aaron Rodgers or recovering a fumble tonight. I guarantee you that. Isn't it great to make a guarantee?
We should come back like on Monday and talk about that. We should talk about
it. If it happens.
These were the picks right there. You know what? It wasn't, Isaiah Simmons, Luke. It was Zaven Collins who had the right.
You'll have to wait till Monday. We're going to be here tomorrow.
That's right. You know, that's a great point. I felt like I was going to take off tomorrow. Did I tell you that, Maloney, by the way, that I was taking it?
Yeah, based on her reaction, no. You did not tell her.
I am not. I did not say it.
No, you stop speaking.
I am not. I never.
You're not you when you're hungry.
All right. Okay. I'm taking us to break.
You think the Monty Python thing, should I keep doing that? Is that good for the show? Do you think the Monty Python?
Mix that and Fire Marshal Bill and nobody will know what's going on. Yeah.
I mean, is that good?
Yeah. I'm not dead.
Yeah. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
Bring out your dead.
Bring out your dead.
Oh, my goodness.
Very,
all right,
very timely. All right. When we come back, what kind of impact will the J.J. Watt injury news have on the Cardinals? 15-year NFL vet Lorenzo Alexander joins us for the lowdown next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.